hearing, which is conditional use number 2000, Jovid Ventures LLC.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a facility for wedding ceremonies and receptions to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.683 acres, more or less, land lying at the southwest corner of Warrington Road, also known as Road 275, and Old Landing Road, also known as Road 274, with a 911 address of 35060 Warrington Road, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 334, Map 12, Parcel 125.01. For the benefit of record, gentlemen, you did receive a copy of a packet of information on made available to us on November 3rd. The packet contains references to the description of a conditional use, references to the comprehensive plan, a copy of an aerial of the area, a copy of the tax map of the area, a copy of a survey site plan for the parcel, a copy of the support facilities report from DLDOT, and suggested proposed conditions of approval for consideration. Others were provided by the applicant or his representatives. DLDOT did respond with comments and provided comments in a form of a support facilities report on April 24, 2014, referencing that a traffic impact study is not recommended, that the current level of service D of Warrington Road and the current level of service C of Old Landing Road will not change as a result of this application. We also heard from the Sussex Conservation District. They provided comments in a form of a memorandum on November 5th, 2014, referencing that there are two soil types on this property, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, that no off-site drainage improvements are necessary, that it is not likely that any on-site drainage improvements will be necessary, and that there are no tax ditches affected. We also heard from the County Engineering Department through their Utility Planning Division, who provided comments on November 10, 2014. They referenced that the site is located in the West Rehoboth expansion area. Their wastewater capacity is available if the equivalent dwelling units SOAR assessment for the parcel do not exceed 6.73 EDUs, also referred to as equivalent dwelling units. That the EDU assessment for the proposed use is not known at this time, that the system design assumption for the AR zone parcel is 4 EDUs per acre, that Ordinance 38 construction is not required, that the current system connection charge rate is $5,500 per EDU, that the parcel is served with 1 6-inch lateral located along the property's frontage on Old Landing Road, that installation of an 8-inch lateral may be required, that the installation of any additional laterals would be at the owner's expense, and that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, and that a concept plan is not required. Gentlemen, that's all I've received from any agency or individual in this application to date.
All right, sir, we thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Willard.
Good afternoon. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. Tim Willard with Fuquay Urey Willard. We have an office here in Georgetown. We have one in Rehoboth. I represent Jovid Venture, Inc., it is, actually. And the principals are here with me today. It's Joe Sterner and David Brinton on the right. This little history of the property. I know most of you know where it is. At the end of Plantation Road, where it turns into Warrington and intersects with Old Landing, on the right is a bright yellow old farmhouse, and that's known as the Homestead Bed and Breakfast. The bed and breakfast was approved in 1993 for 4 bedrooms, and I think it was recently approved for 5 because the cottage in the back was approved by the Board of Adjustment. Jovid, or these gentlemen, have operated the bed and breakfast for a little over a year, and I was involved in the settlement of that, and I'm pleased to report to the commission that they've done quite well, actually, and their bed and breakfast has been listed as number one on the list of TripAdvisors for, like, the, I think, close to 20 bed and breakfasts in the Rehoboth area. And so this application is sort of an extension of that success. Several of their guests, or returning guests, that come back in the summer or the shoulder seasons, have inquired about whether they could do weddings there, get married there. And the offshoot of that would be, could we have a small reception there? So as they put their heads together, they say, well, can we do that? And that's, we started talking and said, well, you got to get permission from the county if you're going to take money to have a reception there, to have a wedding. And it seemed to fit within the conditional use commercial application to the extent it's a semi-public use. So I intend to go through the booklet I've given you in support of this application. And I also, and I'll have to approach maybe your attorney on this, I've gotten a bunch of letters recently that have come to me to whom it may concern in support of this, and we'd like to offer them today, even though they're maybe inside the 10. But I'll show them to your attorney.
That's fine. With correspondence, typically we always accept that.
I think, yeah, correspondence should not be an issue. But go ahead and give them to our counsel, and he'll pass them down to us if you'd like.
I can look at them while Tim
I think I have 7 copies of them.
Okay.
But in the spirit of being a zealous attorney, I've also added a couple photographs of the property with those letters that I had, but I hadn't gotten in. I can submit to you that's in the public domain as well. They just show the outside so you can see.
And that's the same. I'll look at them, but typically if there are photographs that you would see just driving by or whatever, we haven't.
I think I have 7 copies.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. As I already stated, and as I submitted to you, I don't need to tell Ms. Chairman or the other gentleman of your commission about the law in this case, but I have included it in there to demonstrate that in an AR district, we believe a semi-public use such as this would be the convenience of the people in that area. And they have gotten a lot of requests of this. You all may have read about how the beach has become really a wedding destination. So they're hoping to fill that need. In your comp plan, you're in a Sussex County environmentally sensitive development district, which calls to accommodate development where there's light commercial and convenience services, which we would maintain this is. And it's sort of a unique, I mean, if you have somebody that's going to go to Lewis Yacht Club or Rehoboth Country Club, or some people might want to do something at a fire hall, this fills a niche, which is somewhere in Bacheen, which is a nice sort of country setting that's near the beach, but it's not huge or overly expensive. And I've also, I think in your booklet, I've shown you state strategies showing this is a level 2 or 3 area, which also calls for some level of development. In tab 3, you have a overview, Google Earth with a tax map of the property, showing the property is somewhat unique to the extent it's 2 acres. Right across the street, as you can see, is MR, which is fairly dense, Sea Chase, and there's HR next to it on either side. Perhaps the most important document is the site plan, because I know you're all concerned about safety and how this would work. Towards the end of this presentation, I've offered proposed conditions, which I'm hoping will satisfy some of your current concerns in that respect. If you look at the site plan, the only change that I would offer to you today would be the proposed temporary tent options in the bottom left-hand corner, if you're holding it up. They don't anticipate having a tent in that area. If you look at the photographs, the very first photograph would show a branched out tree. I'm not sure what it is, what kind of tree. Maple, it's a very attractive maple, and that's more of a garden seating area. So when I toured the property again, the both owners decided that they probably won't put a tent there. But you can show the areas where the proposed temporary tent would go or the proposed ceremony area. It's in the rear of the property. Are garden likes with trees, and that's likely where there may be a ceremony, and a proposed tent would be in the front, which is surrounded by leylands that are starting to take off. You've also seen they've included 12 parking areas. There's much more room for parking in the drive, in the overall drive there. Some of that would be reserved for catering, and there are at least three parking areas in the garage itself. The dwelling is where the 4 bedrooms are, and in the cottage in the back is where there's 1 more bedroom. So that shows the site plan, and you can see it in some more detail with the photograph that precedes that. Mr. Lank has already indicated that DelDOT had no issues with this as far as a TIS. I should inform you that when we filed the service evaluation, we also filed the proposed conditions. And I don't know if that had or had not effect on them. The proposed conditions that we've included on the back are aimed at trying to address the fact that this is a busy intersection, and that if they had a wedding where they maxed out a number that you were to allow, that they would have to have some restrictions on it. So we've anticipated you'd want those restrictions. So we've offered that they, first of all, the number of events would be no more than 15 tenant events a year. Consecutive events from the same host guest will be counted as one event. Friday wedding on Saturday and Sunday brunch will be counted as one event. Tent may be set up 2 business days prior to the event and taken away within 2 business days following the event. All of offer up to 10 additional events per year for smaller functions that do require a tent. We're asking for a maximum of 125 guests. Typically, what they anticipate based on the requests and what they anticipate allowing is you'd have a couple that would want to get married there. They might have 6 or 4 people in their wedding party that would stay in the inn or the bed and breakfast, and then maybe some of their out-of-town guests would stay on the highway or in other hotels. Events held on Friday or Saturday will end no later than 10 p.m. Music turned off by then. Events held Sunday through Thursday must end no later than 9 p.m. With a DJ or band being permitted. As far as the EDUs and all that, if they were to have a wedding that exceeded a certain amount of people, they'd certainly have porta potties put in for that weekend if necessary. And they're putting a maximum of 10 vehicles may be parked in the area. They would have caterers come in, which would be responsible for the food service. And also they would require that guests be shuttled to the wedding if they're more than the parking would allow. It's obviously in their best interest to do this right. They've earned a pretty good reputation, and I don't think it's uncommon, especially for wedding parties where there's maybe drinking going on, to actually take advantage of a shuttle service, which in this case might be just blocks away to the Hampton Inn or Route 1. So that's why they've offered these, and if you are going to consider this favorably, we're hoping that you'd impose some of those conditions. And I can tell you that in talking to my clients who are businessmen, they're flexible with these numbers. So, in other words, they don't anticipate doing weddings in July and August. 15 may be more events than they really need, and 125 people might be out that they don't even want that many, quite frankly. They're anticipating more weddings in the neighborhood of, you know, 50 or 75 maximum, that kind of thing. So it would be much more doable. Finally, if I can turn to the other documents as I submitted with your permission.
Yeah, they've been passed down.
Some of them are, quite frankly, self-explanatory. You can see the homesteads. You can actually see the visuals of the rooms, and which are nicely kept. The pictures that you have, the first one shows the area where the proposed tent would have been, where it's more of a ceremony area. And likewise, the second picture with the trees would be a ceremony area. You have a picture of the parking lot. To give you some idea of, this is a fairly large lot for the area. It's two acres, and the farmhouse is not that big. So there's plenty of room as far as buffer. And the fourth picture you have showing the cottage in the back. And if I could take the time, we've gotten some letters in support of it. If I could, Mr. Chairman, go through them. I won't read them all word for word, but if I'll paraphrase them, and you'll have them before you. The first one is from Mr. Buckmaster. He lives in the Sea Chase, which is right across the neighborhood. Some of you might recognize him. I think he was with Cape Henlopen. And he's addressed it to the county. It's my understanding that bed and breakfast, known as Homestead, and located at the corner of Old Landing Road and Warrington Road in Rehoboth, is seeking a conditional use of land to allow the owners to hold wedding ceremonies and receptions on their property. Please be aware that I would be in favor of such a use on the property. Furthermore, you should be aware that my property directly backs up to and is across the street from the bed and breakfast. I see no issue with either noise or traffic in at this site and allowing such events to occur. Yes, we all know that traffic does exist at this intersection, but such an event would not make a measurable impact. Quite frankly, the four-way stop at this intersection works well and keeps traffic moving. I have talked with the owners of the homestead and told them that I'm in favor of the request and hope you will grant it. Sincerely, T.S. Buckmaster. The next letter is from Verity Watson. Ms. Watson lives on Old Landing Road directly behind the homestead. Michael and I are next-door neighbors to the owner of the homestead. After discussing their plans to hold wedding ceremonies and receptions on their property, we feel they will be respectful of our property, and they addressed all of our concerns to our satisfaction. They are good neighbors and deserve this chance to provide a service that is needed. And they're at 19640 Old Landing Road, the adjacent neighbors. Another letter from somebody at C. Chase, Robert Delance, to whom it may concern, we, the undersigned, write this letter in support of our neighbors, David and Joe, current proprietors of the homestead. The homestead is located at the intersection Warrington Old Landing. Messrs. Britton and Sterner have owned the homestead for over a year. In that time, we have noticed improvement in the appearance of the property, both in the bed and breakfast itself and in surrounding grounds. To our knowledge, these improvements have helped provide successful each year. It is our understanding that the owners wish to add a wedding service venue. They have constructed conditional uses to their proposal that appears suitable to the service and acceptable to the adjacent residents. Wedding parties will not exceed 125 persons. No more than 25 wedding events are to be scheduled within a year. Parking considerations have been designed to address guest transportation. We believe Mr. Britton and Mr. Sterner have revitalized a helpful, important, and long-established landmark business, and in doing so have added the positive growth of our immediate community. We find their wedding venue proposal to be thoughtful and respectful to neighbors of the homestead, and therefore request that you support their endeavor without reservation. Respectfully, Charles Oakes and Robert Delance. And then there are a couple letters from businesses, which you can give the weight that they're due. They're feeling the demand for such events too. And one is from Elaviv Events to Sussex Council. Has come to my attention that Joe Sterner and David Brinton, the innkeepers of the homestead, are in line for planning and zoning. I want to write you to state my support for what they're proposing. There is a severe lack of wedding locations here at the beaches. I work numerous weddings events a year, and I'm always conscious of the end time and noise restrictions. I'm glad that they are finally able to stand in front and ask for this permission.
So on and so forth. Seven letters in support, I think, total.
Yeah, they're good letters, too. Another one from the business, caterers, one from Hobos. Neighbors, you like those better, I imagine. There's one from Nicholas P. Del Campo, who lives on Old Landing Road.
I like the P.S. on that one.
Bacon and scallops, can't get better than that. So that's it. And I'd like to call at least one of my clients, Mr. Sterner, up here. Mr. Sterner, you've heard my representations to the commission about your conditional use applications to do a limited amount of weddings at your homestead. Are they true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, they are.
Is there anything you want to add?
Sure. Gentlemen of the commission, thank you very much for allowing us the opportunity to be here today and submit our proposals. As Mr. Willard said, in the year that we've owned the business, we have improved our overall rating on TripAdvisor from the number 6 overall bed and breakfast in the area to the number 1 bed and breakfast in the area. Because of that, we have received numerous inquiries about holding weddings on our property, and we like to do things the right way, and that's why we're here. But also, just as importantly, our venue is for middle-class people who don't have the funds to rent out country clubs and things like that. So we're providing very nice grounds for people who have limited means to get married in a nice setting. And so that's what our focus is. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe that's all we have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Willard. If you'll stand by, we'll see if there's anyone on the commission that has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Willard, approximately what's the distance from the entrance to the intersection of County Road 274?
Mr. Johnson, if you can't tell by the survey, I might not be able to give you a better number. It's pretty...
maybe 60 to 70 feet. I'm looking at the 23.2.
Yeah.
35 foot of the house.
Yeah.
You mean the entrance?
Right. Yeah, it's fairly close. And if your point is, if you're headed north on Warrington, and that traffic, it's you need to get somebody to let you in or come around. It's pre-existing entrance. That's been existing there for a while, but it's fairly close to the intersection, which is one reason they don't want a large number of guests driving there. In fact, their hope is and their plan, business plan, is the wedding party will stay there and anybody else will be shuttled.
And on the site plan that I'm looking at, you referred to the 12 parking spots. Now, are they going to be on the paved ground, or is that the parking spots that you're talking about being? But because you talk about a maximum of 10 vehicles maybe parked on non-paved areas.
Joe, you want to address that?
Sure.
Is that all right? Bring him up.
Oh, absolutely.
Does he need to be sworn?
No.
So there are 10 traditional parking spots in the parking lot and underneath of the garage. And what we are proposing is an additional 10 vehicles maybe parked on two wheels on the grass, two wheels on the driveway, which would create a corridor down the driveway so that way we can have additional, cars on the property, whether or not they're guests or from the caterers or whatever.
But what I'm referring to is that the site plan is showing 12 parking spots, and they appear not to be on the paved ground.
Okay, is there 12?
Yes.
Okay, so my apologies. The 12 that we are referring to are specific parking spots on the paved areas, and then there really should have only been 10 hatched parking spots then. And again, two wheels on the grass, two wheels on the driveway.
So given staff and caterers, what would you anticipate the maximum capacity then?
For parking?
Yes.
22 would be the absolute maximum.
Okay.
If you look, Mr. Johnson, at the picture of the pave, you see that how they have perhaps the pave should have been marked on the site plan, but on the photographs we've given you, you see the bumpers that are in front of
it. I noticed that when I visited site too. But I was just wanting clarification because you referred to 10 and I counted 12 on the what appears to be
correct. Yes, the hatched marks is there's two additional there that should not be. It should only be 10.
Okay. Where would that, if I could, Mr. Johnson?
So take these two top out.
On the top up here, Mr. Johnson, for the record, the top ones would be the ones that would come out.
Okay. I mean, it appears as though the surveyor found that there was enough spot for the 12, so I didn't know.
Yeah, and there's not a drainage issue there at all. I mean, so I think when these guys talk in terms of maximum, it's not necessarily what they want to build, but they have to consider that, and they would be available for sure.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm familiar with the property, and I understand the application. I have no further questions at this point.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
I understand the idea of the shuttle, what worries me would be parking along 275 or along County Road 274. Would you be okay putting a condition that there wouldn't be any parking on those?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be illegal anyway, but I think that would be a condition they'd welcome. And in talking to these gentlemen and having been through one wedding kind of intimately, I know I didn't have much to do with it, but the planning is a lot in advance. So the guests would be getting invitations which would identify, the shuttle service and things like that, which could include, obviously, no parking on Warrington or Old Landing.
Mr. Burton, I think there's two towing companies in the area that would love for them to park alongside the road.
I don't know that it's illegal to park alongside of the road, though, if you got it off far enough.
Okay, just saying.
That's my question. There's no parking signs there.
Okay.
No further questions.
I'm just trying to drum up business for him.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Willard, my questions were about the parking as well. I would like to get on the record and being familiar with the site as to how close you are to the auxiliary fire department and EMT of Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Department.
I don't know exactly. I don't have that information.
If I were to say a half mile or a mile, I'm talking about the one by the Shell Wheat Golf.
The one on 24? Or no?
That'd be the new firehouse.
The new firehouse on Airport Road?
Airport Road.
Yes, so that would be less than I'm sorry. Yeah.
So the new firehouse on Airport Road and Coastal Highway, so that would be less than 1 mile away. And then there is a fire hydrant directly across the street on Warrington Road.
And the proposed site for the new Delaware State Police Barracks is down by the middle school. Your distance to that would be?
2 miles, maybe?
Not even. Not that. Well, maybe a mile and a half, a little over a mile.
It would be correct to say that you're reasonably close in your estimation to emergency services.
Absolutely. Certainly within 5 minutes.
Do you anticipate any type of aerials that perhaps would interfere with neighbors' quiet enjoyment? And by that I mean any noisemakers, any firework displays, any searchlights, anything like that that would be on your premises?
We would certainly welcome, you know, any conditions, you know, against noisemakers or things of that nature. I can't say for certain whether or not there would, you know, well, as far as like whenever the wedding is over, you know, traditionally you know, now you're letting up balloons and things like that, you know, and if there's any restrictions you'd like to place on that, we'd be happy to, you know, to accept them. But we're great neighbors now. We have no interest in allowing anything that's going to, you know, disturb, you know, our neighbors.
People still throw, they don't throw rice anymore because it's bad for the birds. I think they throw bird seed.
I see. I, for one, would like to think that after the wedding was over that things would proceed in an upbeat manner as well.
There may be fireworks after the wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and but and not. Yeah.
That would be not a topic that we shouldn't have out there on the internet.
Well, and also keep in mind that we have to be up at, you know, we have to be up the next day to make breakfast. So, you know, these conditions that we're self-imposing ourselves as far as end times, you know, they're also to our benefit. We have to, we can't go to bed till the party, you know, is over, you know, and we have to get up the next morning to make that breakfast for folks. So we have no interest in staying up late either.
Well, you're not complaining already, are you?
No, absolutely not.
Planning these weddings, they're not being
No, absolutely not, Commissioner.
I'm going to stop. We're on good terms here. Thank you, gentlemen.
Are you on a particular pain medication?
Just I don't know. We've got one in a walker and one on.
I know.
The shuttle bus from where? Where is the shuttle bus going to be picking people up from?
The plan is, and this is a business plan, is that if somebody were to hire them to have a wedding and they wanted to get married there on the site, they would have a ceremony there. And if there were guests, obviously, that exceeded the 5 rooms that they had, that the hosts would, not them the host, but the wedding part, the wedding, they would designate a place to stay, maybe the new Fairfield, is it? The hotel or the Hampton Inn or one of those, and they'd all would stay at the same place, and the wedding would party would arrange for that transportation, and it would be part of the invitation. They would know you will come to the ceremony at 4 o'clock and leave, and you don't have to drive if you want to have a glass of champagne or something. So it works both ways, I think.
Okay.
And then, it would depend on where the hotel is.
Right. And then the shuttle service would drive onto the site or stop on the road, or where would the shuttle, how would they drop?
There should be room in the parking lot so they can pull into the parking lot and do a K-turn and get out of there. So they wouldn't be unloading people on Warrington Road.
Okay. Because when I stopped there the other day, I mean, I was literally in the turn lane at the driveway. I mean, your driveway is part of the turn lane, I think, to go to the four-way stop. And so
they would keep that open for the shuttle.
Right. And then I guess my next question is really for council or somebody. I don't recall us dividing parking spaces with shuttle service before, and I just want to make sure that we're on legal grounds to be able to do that. Because we have the parking requirements based on the number of people and employees and all that, and it's always just a calculation, and they're supposed to be on the site plan. So how do we incorporate that with a shuttle?
Well, I'll see what Lawrence has to say. Looking through the parking requirements, I didn't see one that ties directly to this. And so I think you're right. We usually haven't said, you know, you have to have a shuttle. What we've said is you know, this is the parking requirements, and if you don't meet it one way or another, you got to find your own way to deal with it, you know. But I don't know that we've imposed shuttle requirements that I can recall.
I don't know if we've ever allowed shuttle requirements.
Yeah.
Is the thing. Is, yeah. You know, we've never had a request for conditional use that I can recall where they said, oh, we don't have enough space for parking, so we're going to use a shuttle service. And I just don't know how we handle that
right. And
stay within code.
Now, there really isn't anything in the code that makes reference to a parking
either way.
Type range.
Yeah,
so it's subject to the commission, site plan, and conditions of approval. Can be.
There's not really anything that really even translates all that well to it.
Not much somewhere.
Yeah.
I like the idea and the concept of it, to be honest with you, but, you know, I can also see down the road where.
But most of the parking requirements are based on square footage. As you said previously,
or number of fixed seats.
Employees.
Yeah.
There's a couple methods, but.
Places of assembly might be the closest thing, but.
They really, go by like a fixed number of seats.
Yeah,
exactly.
There really isn't anything. There's not a good, that I can think of, a good correlation, but well, I do think we have some room for common sense here, and the idea would. Sure would be that you're limited as the number of people you can get on this site comfortably anyway, so it's likely to be an issue that would take care of itself. I mean, I don't know what we can, what kind
of one thing they have to show us is the provision for the parking required necessary for the bed and breakfast.
Right.
First thing, if they live on a premise, they've got their own two parking spaces required
for them,
and then there's spaces required for the bed and breakfast. And that's one space per rental room, plus the two for the residents that reside on the property. And then the additional parking would be required for the weddings.
So you have four
even
rooms,
if the wedding
right?
party four, was a part four, of the, one of the rooms.
Five rooms? So you have five, seven. They're offering 22.
And you just have to have provisions in the condition of approval that would require shuttle. And reference to no parking along public roads.
And perhaps no more than X number of cars on the site at any one time. So
yeah,
it doesn't get jammed up.
Parking along public roads should be a restriction that notes that you can't park in the grass on the shoulder and then back out into the road.
Yeah.
Or park along the road itself. And probably should be signage authorized by the state restricting it to no parking. And there may be signs there already on part of it. I'm not sure. I don't think there are.
Well, I think it could be so stipulated. I don't see it being an issue.
I don't think it's a big issue. I think the biggest issue looking at the site, Mr. Willard, will be a turnaround area for your shuttle, a van, or whatever. I think that'll be a condition, one of the conditions, because we wouldn't want the shuttle service to pull in the driveway and have to back out into that busy intersection.
Right? And I think
you'll have to have enough room for the required parking spots, as we just discussed, plus a room for that shuttle, van, or whatever to make a turnaround and exit going forward.
Yeah, and I don't think
you could really do it with a pull off. They wouldn't really need to turn around.
Not there. They can't do a pull off
because
it's literally in the turn lane.
Okay.
And in most cases,
they put a turn off on their property then.
It's their driveway is literally turned off the turn lane. When I pulled off the other day, and there's no traffic this time of year, I mean, I put my four ways on and got into your driveway kind of sideways to avoid traffic.
Okay.
So there's just no space there.
No
so
room
close
to
the intersection.
Okay.
And in most cases, we're not anticipating a bus or a big limo. It might be a minivan.
Right, eight or ten passenger van or something.
Right, and they might make a few runs. But if you all limit the number of parking, you know, that'll be a condition among any other you set that they have to abide by no matter what. So
it's just there's a formula in the code, and so we have to take that base formula and make sure you have those, right? And then accommodate the shuttle service somehow in a condition so that the shuttle doesn't back up into that intersection.
You've
got to come up if you're going to speak.
Yeah, there is definitely, you know, for a passenger van to do a turnaround, you know, in the parking lot when all the spaces, whenever the designated spaces in the parking lot are full, you know, that our guests are doing that themselves. You know, our guests, whenever the parking lot is full and they're ordering delivery to their room, that delivery guy is doing a circle around. You know, that's not an issue to a turnaround in the parking lot. So.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
That it? Okay. Mr. Lang?
My question and answer, my concern was the parking house.
Okay. All right. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counselor?
No questions. Thanks.
All right, then. Mr. Willard, take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2000, Jovid Ventures Incorporated?
The one in the back.
I'm both.
Okay. Come on up. Give us your name, and you may have the floor, sir.
Gentlemen, my name is Dr. Tripp Del Campo. I wrote the letter with the bacon wrap scallops, and I really would like to get that in the literature.
It's a condition.
I live directly across the street from these gentlemen on Old Landing Road, not the property next to them, but across the street. These guys have been great neighbors. They have improved the property in the limited amount of time that I've lived there. I'm a lifelong Rehoboth Beach resident, just bought the property in December of last year. These guys are great. They've improved the property. They've planted the Leland cypresses along the road to provide a vegetated border. There's no way you could park on that street along the side streets without blocking and impeding traffic. So if you want to throw that condition, I think it's just for its sake, but it would be impossible for anybody to do that on Old Landing Road. The conditions that they've self-imposed, the 125, after 10 or 9 p.m. on the weekdays, that's fine with me. It's a fairly busy road anyway, so anybody that's really incredibly concerned with noise probably be upset at the traffic and not so much at the noise or the Macarena or electric slide, whatever is played. And I think these guys, in having dinner with them a couple times and meeting with them and having they're coming over to their place during their open houses for the bed and breakfast, I'm confident to say that if there was any issue or if there was any problem that consistently arose with having events or with having weddings there, that it would be an easy agreement to come to, and there would be no reason for me to come in here saying, okay, this was a mistake, we shouldn't have done this, because these guys are very amenable, as you can see by their self-imposed restrictions, and I'm confident that any issue would be resolved.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Anyone else wish to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2000? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.